Go ahead and put a marker in Psalms 103. To me, the last two Wednesday night services have been special. And I've been getting phone calls from people that have told me that it's impacting them the same way. And it's not anything really new. It's the foundations of these things Sue and I have had in our foundation since 1980, to be honest with you. But then we've learned a few things in 30 years. Everyone say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, you know. And so he's blended it, melded it, molded it now in ways that's mine. What I mean is I am these things. Sue and I have lived these things. But if you're not careful, you can let these things slip. Today I brought out a treasure and put it on my desk that I hadn't seen in a few years, and the Bible says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. So I'm going to confess to you that I haven't had this out for a few years, this one. And what it is, it's my ring binder. How many know what my ring binder is? It's the very ring binder that I used in the early days at the ugly building when God was merging within my spirit what I call Faith 101, the fundamentals of faith, and the leadership of the spirit that we've learned from Pastor Dave Roberson. And I would take that ring binder, and it's when I was really trying to do petitional prayer, but do it by the leadership of the spirit. And there is such a thing as that. Well, I hadn't had it out in quite a while, but these teachings the last two Wednesday nights, started looking for it. I found it. It's so old now that when you open it, the spine breaks. But it's a treasure to me. I started going through there and looking, and I'd forgotten a lot about the goodness of God. The answered prayer, one after another, one after another. See, that a friend of mine, we've been discussing these lessons this last week or two, and the written petition is not family. See, Dave was so right when he says, you know, if Tawny, who most of you know is adopted, if she was hungry and she brought out her adoption papers and put them on the table and says, look, you are lawfully required to feed me. I'm bringing out my adoption papers, and you, what? He would be hurt. The way he said it, he said, well, you know, she wouldn't be able to sit right for a week. You know, he'd tan her bottom, you know, if I remember what he said. He said, my family doesn't operate like that. When my kids want a sandwich, he says, they don't come and go, you know, bring me a formal petition. And on this day, I would like to have a sandwich. I'm dating this request. I'm writing down the request. I'm printing it on my printer. I believe I receive a sandwich. And I'm going to confess the sandwich until I have it. See? We know that's not the way that a family works. Amen? But what he was really teaching in that lesson, because I called and asked him over to make sure, what he was teaching was the arrogance. People start, and they get help from ministers from the pulpit to say, you got to demand your covenant rights. I got news for you. Christ died for you to have those covenant rights. He's more eager for you to walk in them than you are to walk in them. You don't need to be storming the gates of heaven and demanding your rights from your Father God. What he's after is that you come to the place where you believe it. If you want to storm something, storm your own brain. That's where the problem is. The reason for the written petition, that's for my benefit. See, because what will happen, you'll make a request to God and you'll be serious about it, and it's serious, and you'll pray, and you'll believe you receive when you pray, and you'll stand fast for a few days. But sometimes, and I like it when prayer is like that printer I told you about. When I pray in the morning at 7 and the printer comes at 2, I wish they all worked that way. You know, but boy, sometimes there's a standing time. And I'm be honest with you, I don't want you to develop faith for having to stand a long time. I don't believe you have to. I believe in instant answers to prayer. I believe we're going to get there. But my experience tells me there is times when you got to stand on what you believe. One of the things I emphasized in those two lessons, because Jesus emphasized it when he... I'm just assuming you've already heard those. If you haven't, you're behind. You're going to have to hear those two messages. It's the last 2 weeks from today's date, September 8th. So the two Wednesdays before tonight. I think we called the first one Kingdom Jurisdiction. And the second one we called Receiving Answers to Prayer, or something real close to that. And I may get to teach on those again tonight. I don't know. But see, the problem with, if you don't write it down, see, here's the problem with Dave's analogy. And I've talked with him already about this. Here's the analogy. Well, I'm a child. You know, my children, they just come to the refrigerator. They know they're my child. They don't write a written request to me. And, oh, durst thou knowest, O Father, that I desirest a hamest sandwich with mustard, please. You know, he says, are you kidding? They know that they're my kids and all that I have is theirs. If they want to make a ham sandwich, trust me, they don't come to get my permission. They just go to the refrigerator and make it. And that's the way it should be in a family. Isn't that right? But now let me show you something. Matthew chapter 6. I put a marker in Psalms 103. We'll be back there later, hopefully. We've already left my notes. So Matthew chapter 6. See, there's a breakdown in that analogy of the refrigerator. Jesus told us about it here when he told us how to pray. Starting in verse 8. Be not therefore like unto them, talking about the heathen. By the way, I'll just go ahead and get that verse, because a lot of people use verse 7 to come against confession. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. If you want to see a picture of what he's really talking about that, look back in the Old Testament to Mount Carmel, where Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal. And he says, he put the bulls up on the altar, and they had the meat offering there. And he says, you pray to your God, I'll pray to my God, the God that answers by fire, he is God. Well, boy, they went at it. And they went at it all day long. And if you'll read that story, it says that they wailed, they prayed, they chanted, they cut themselves. They actually cut themselves, thinking that would impress God. Elijah actually started mocking them. He says, well, maybe he's busy. And actually, if I read it right, he actually said one time, maybe he's relieving himself. He was mocking them, you know. And all day long, see, they think they'll be heard for their much speaking. And even to the point they're cutting themselves, and well, that'll impress their God, and he'll move, see. Well, after giving them a chance all day, he says, bring the water. I mean, they doused the wood, they doused the offering, they dug trenches around it, poured water everywhere. Elijah prays, the fire of God falls, not only consumes the offering, consumes the wood, licks up the water, and crushes the stones. And all of Israel went, that's God. See, and Elijah just prayed once. Didn't do no cutting. But he prayed in faith. Now that's what Jesus is talking about here. All right? Confession is for you. We've been through that many times through Ephesians chapter, whichever one it is, where he says, I don't have time to look it up. Ministering to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Ministering to who? That's ministering to your own soul. We're going to look at that in Psalms 103. There's a time when you've got to talk to your soul. The problem is not in heaven. The problem's in our thinker. It's in our own soul. That's where the problem is. Confession is for your benefit. That written petition, you're not going to find a scripture that says do that. You can get answered prayer without writing them down. I'm just telling you, it's a tool that has helped me. It keeps me focused. Every day I can turn that page in my ring binder. Thank you, Lord. You heard me when I prayed. I'm never going to ask again. I'm not going to pretend like you didn't hear me. I know you did hear me. And I believe I received it when I prayed. And that's where my responsibility ends. Because you said, if I believe I receive it, then I shall have it. And that's your part. That's good stuff right there. See, I feel like I ought to preach those two Wednesday nights again tonight. And then do it again next Wednesday. And then do it again next Wednesday. And then give you a test. And then do it again the next Wednesday because I don't know if you're going to pass. See, because this works 100% of the time for everybody who does it. One time I heard somebody ask another preacher. He said, and you hear it all the time. Well, my Aunt Susie, she prayed just like you said. She did everything you said. She prayed in faith and believed she received when she prayed. And she died. And this preacher answered back, said to her, how could you know anybody like that when, since the beginning of time, there's never been anybody like that? And she goes, what? And you just take them to Jesus' words in the New Testament where he says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Don't be telling me that she believed she received when she prayed and died anyway. Nope, somebody's mistaken, and it's not Jesus. Okay? Dave one time helped me on that line. He has helped me on a lot of lines, I'll just tell you. But we had a tragic death of another minister who died way before his time. And when that kind of thing happens, and all we can see is the external. You know, he's talking the right thing and living the right thing. And, you know, you don't expect somebody to die tragically in a car accident when they're in their 40s. That's not God's promise in the Bible. But Dave says, all we can see, all we can judge by is what we see on the outside. See? But he says, in every person, there is a whole universe, just you and God. I mean, you're doing your best like I'm doing my best, and we're all doing our best to do right. But really, on the inside, there's a world that nobody knows but you and God. He said, if we could go talk to that fella in heaven right now, talk to him, he'd go, yeah, I know why. Yeah, you didn't know, but I know. And I found that to be the case now, because I'm telling you right now, the gospel. Yes, sir. Boy, it's not the message I intended to do tonight. Listen, you ever heard of the devil's gospel? Let me teach you about the devil's gospel. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have Jesus walking through those pages, if you'll allow me to say it that way. Near the end of his ministry, he told Philip, he says, because they wanted to see the Father, show us the Father. He says, have I been with you this long? You don't know who I am? He says, listen, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, what we call the gospel, the good news, is we see God through Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that's God's gospel. What's the devil's gospel? The devil's gospel is everything else you see. Circumstances. Let's take a case where somebody has got we mentioned cancer a while ago. That's a common one, and we've had cases here. Well, I'm going to take one that I know of. A certain case, it's not that one. It's another one that I know of. I personally ministered to this person who lived on the other side of the world. They had Skype, and I had Skype, so I could minister face-to-face, talk to them. Got them saying the right things, got them believing the right things, as far as I could tell. And we'd have improvement for a while. And his son, who was a teenager, 17, 18 years old, very much a believer, and loves his daddy. And the whole family was pulling for daddy. It's a good Christian family. And by all outward appearances, this husband and father did everything right. And it was a long, protracted, painful, horrible illness that lasted for months. And in the end, he died of cancer. And the son wants to know why. He writes me. I prayed about it a long time. And what I'm going to answer him is something like this. Well, now I've got two gospels presented before me here. One, I've got the Jesus that I see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who is the image of the Father. And all I ever see him doing is going about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God is with him. You're giving me a situation where I would have to say that this man who loved God and was believing God, you're trying, the circumstances are preaching a gospel like this, that Jesus basically sat there and did nothing. While the man died a slow, agonizing death, and he did everything right, full of faith and worshiping God, and Jesus just sat there and let him die. Said, I'm not going to believe the devil's gospel. I'm going to believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if for some reason God was not able to manifest his healing, it's certainly not because he didn't want to. It's not because he didn't want to. There was something that prevented that manifestation that from the outside you and I can't see. But if we could talk to your daddy now that he's on the other side and in heaven, he'd know. And he'd be able to tell us. But I'm not going to stop believing God's gospel and start believing the devil's gospel just based on circumstances. I have already made up my mind. Father, thy word is truth. No matter what I see, no matter what I feel, no matter what, 1,000 may fall at my left hand, 10,000 at my right, but I am going to keep believing God's gospel. I want to believe his word. Amen. Now, I do believe that we'll come to the place, and this is our quest here, that we won't lose so many as we progress further into these things ourselves. In fact, if he lets me get into it tonight, we're going to get into faith for intercession. I don't know if we're going to get that far or not. I'll tell you one thing. Yes, sir. Boy, I'm trying not to be flippant either. It's hard. It's hard when you lose somebody close. Now, I'm not trying to make light of it. If y'all don't remember, my own sister committed suicide 40 years ago. The gospel that I was taught then condemned her to hell because the way they taught it at the time, that was murder that could not be repented of. How many of you ever heard that? And I thank God for more enlightened teachers along my path who taught me, look, just because somebody dies of cancer or tuberculosis or some other disease, we know healing was provided for them, but they don't receive their healing and they die. We don't condemn them to hell for dying in their body. You can be just as sick in your mind. As you can have a disease in your mind just like you can have a disease in your body. That's all it was, just a disease. She didn't get healed of it. That girl loved the Lord. You don't know my sister. She'd been in heaven for 40 years. Every time I find out somebody else went there, I ask the Lord if it's okay if she shows them around. I know by now she's found Paul's house, Peter's house. Knows where the best fishing is, I'm sure. I don't know what they do in heaven. I don't know. It's hard, and I don't mean to minimize it. I'm trying to get to where we don't lose any of them. See? But I'm telling you this, the devil's going to challenge you with his gospel. You better make up your mind what you're going to believe. Isaiah said, whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. You got that? All right. Oh, we haven't got to the refrigerator yet. How in the world? Matthew 6. Now here's the problem, see? that analogy, let me get you going back to there. Dave was saying, look, my sons don't petition me really for a ham sandwich. If they want a ham sandwich, they just go to the refrigerator and get it. Now, here's the problem with that analogy. Look at this. I mean, he's exactly right. That's the way a family works. But watch. Jesus, when teaching us about prayer, especially petitional prayer, he says in verse 7 of Matthew 6, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Go back and look at Mount Carmel for an example of that. They think they'll be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Now get that straight. There's something about this family, and you're not in a religion, but there's something about this family, the way things are set up right now, it's needful that you ask him. And for years I didn't really understand why, because I just like Dave, that didn't really fit in a family the way I understood it. Jesus gave us the answer right here in the next verse. After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father, which art in, what's the next word? Heaven. The refrigerator you're trying to get your sandwich from is not in the same house where you are. That's the difference. Your answers are in the realm of the Spirit. Right now, you're not living in the same realm where our Father is living. The refrigerator's not in the house. It's in that realm of the Spirit. And you have got to make... Let me say it enough different ways. God, where does God live? In heaven, yes. We would call that the kingdom of light. Are we in the kingdom of light? Spiritually, we are. Is your body? I feel. Your body's on planet Earth. Who does the Bible say is the God of this world? The devil. It plainly tells you. It doesn't stutter at all. He is the God of this world. This is the kingdom of darkness. This is until the end of this age, when this world is consumed in a big fireball and even the elements are consumed and burned. Until that happens, we're on this earth, but your answers, the refrigerator you're trying to get your sandwich from, is in the realm of the Spirit. And somehow there has to be a legal transaction. There has to be an intervention from that spirit realm into the material realm for you to get what you need. Now, especially if you're believing for like healing of a deadly disease. Let's just take a real serious case, you know. And let's go one where the doctors have done all they can do. They've already done the chemo. They've already done the radiation. They've already done everything there is. And they say your body is full of cancer from your head to your toe, and they send you home to die. Sue and I had a case like that already up in Oneonta, New York, years ago. This girl was, that lady was only in her 30s. We didn't even get to lay hands on her. We laid on somebody in proxy for her. And the doctors had already given up on her and sent her home to die. There's nothing more we can do. This body, this cancer is throughout your body. There's nothing. Nothing medical science can do. And I told you that story. We hadn't been in ministry very long. I was going, God, don't we get to pray for headaches first? Plus, the lady's not even there. We're doing it by proxy. Boy, if I wanted to ever feel an anointing. I wanted an earthquake that shook the bars off the cells. I wanted something, you know. I got to tell you, when I laid my hands on that lady, it felt like laying a cold fish on a doorknob. I mean, there was just nothing. It was nothing. There was no tingly, no nothing. I was never so glad to get through with that prayer and move on to the next person in my life. Long story short, though, I found out later that lady got completely healed. She's in the ministry today. She has her before x-rays and her after x-rays, full of cancer, free from cancer. And she goes around telling everyone, what he did for me, he'll do for you. Still in the ministry today. Now, don't tell me you got to feel some kind of anointing. He is the anointing. You got that? What he's needing from you is obedience. Another lesson. Cold fish on a doorknob or not. I like it. I love the goosebumps. I've been so drunk in the Spirit that I had to hold me up while I prayed for people. I like that. Don't have to have it. Just fun. The refrigerator. Back to the refrigerator. Now, that realm of the Spirit, you're really a citizen of that world. See, that's the family. Your citizenship is in heaven, but you're on temporary assignment on earth. One of the things, now we can't get too deep into this tonight, but one of the things to have authority here, to exercise authority on planet earth, until this planet is extinguished, you've got to have a body from the first man, Adam. That's, notice this, even Jesus himself, once his body was glorified, now he could walk through walls, he could eat a fish, walk through the wall, and I don't understand how the fish didn't slide down the wall. The fish got glorified too, I guess, when it, you know, watched too many cartoons when I was little. But I want you to notice, he didn't do any miracles. He didn't heal anybody. He didn't raise nobody from the dead. He didn't do anything. He didn't go around curing anybody once his body was glorified. Why not? To manifest dominion here, it has to be through a body from the first man, Adam. It won't be that way in the new earth. It is that way in this earth. Until, some people say, until Adam's lease runs out. I just like to say until this planet is extinguished. Okay? Well, how in the world? Jesus said, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. That's true. How does he manifest that authority here? That's why he had to leave us that's why he had to leave us in these bodies. Because if we don't have them, we don't have authority here in this dispensation. See, well, he doesn't want to end this dispensation early. Because he's seeking to save the lost. He wants to fill heaven with people. So he had to leave us in these bodies so we can have authority here. So now we've got a dilemma. We're on planet Earth, where Satan is the god of this world. It plainly tells you in New Testament, after the cross, by the way. Satan is the god of this world. We're in a material realm here, but we don't even really belong here. What I mean is our citizenship is not here. We are children of the living God. Our refrigerator is in heaven. Where's home? Heaven. Where's the refrigerator? Heaven. How are you going to get stuff out of it? Prayer. What kind of prayer? The prayer of faith. And that's what Jesus was teaching in Mark 11:24. This is how you do it. And it's a legal transaction because you are in that body from Adam. And now you have been given the name of Jesus. You are licensed to petition legally. It's a legal prayer to heaven where the refrigerator is. Father, thy kingdom come. Thy refrigerator contents come. Thy sandwich be manifest here as if I was already there. If we were already there, you could just go over and get it. But we're not there. We're here. Yeah, I know families don't really operate that way. But we're not at home yet. We're not where the refrigerator is. So what we have to do is put, it's a legal petition. This is how God and Sons and Daughters Incorporated, if you'll allow me, this is how kingdom business is done on planet Earth. His children who find out his will and make petition to him, and that prayer open, because we have authority now, and we have prayed that prayer, authority because we have bodies from Adam, we can pray in the name of Jesus who has authority in both realms. And now that prayer can be answered by faith through us from the realm of the spirit into the realm of the natural. Your cancer will disappear like a snowball on the 4th of July. It'll go too. You'll have it. You'll have it. If you learn how to do it by faith. But faith is the exchange. It's not money. In this world, money is the medium of exchange. You can use money to get just about anything. But the medium of exchange between earth and heaven is only one thing, and it's called faith. It's God's word. It's faith. And there's no substitute for it. Begging, and that's what he was saying. Don't be like the heathen who think it's... They think God is withholding the answer. He's not withholding the answer. He is more eager to manifest that answer than you are to have it. It's a legal thing. It's got to come through that avenue of faith, or it just won't come. Quiet in here now. That's why we've got to, do it God's way. Now, we started this off with those verses out of Hebrews, talking about why the first bunch couldn't go in and possess the land. They couldn't go in and possess the land because God says they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. We're doing the same thing. We, meaning the church at large. We don't pray according to the instructions that the Lord gave us. He says, this is how you do it, but we'll do it some other way. The church I grew up in, they'd always add that faith killer at the end of it. If it be thy will. Now we're at Psalms 103. Go to Psalms 103. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no such thing as faith if you don't know what his word says about it. A lot of people are trying to stand in faith based on somebody else's faith, based on a testimony they heard, based on Dave's faith, based on a prayer line. And anything that works is great. But what God has called us to do is be a people that walks by faith ourselves. How are you going to walk by faith? Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's no such thing. Going back to my Pottawatomie County roots now. There's no such thing as faith until you know what God said about something. Faith is based on what he said. How do you know you're saved? Somebody had to preach what he said to you. You had to hear the gospel. John 3:16, Romans 10, 9 and 10. You had to hear enough of it where you went, oh, me? I could be saved? Oh, then you heard it. Faith came. You acted on the word. And sure enough, you got saved. But you couldn't do that if nobody ever preached the word to you. How shall they hear without a preacher? Okay. Well, I just love this one because where I grew up, every prayer for healing, bless their hearts, always ended with, I don't care what they were praying, for healing, if it be thy will. Now, this is David in the Old Testament, for crying out loud. This is Psalms 103. This is David who wrote this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to his own soul. He's basically doing the exhortation given in Ephesians. Ministering to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart and so forth. So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I wish the church today knew these benefits. Now look at this. Here's one of the benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Do you realize who's writing this? This is King David. David who committed adultery with Bathsheba. David who conspired to have her husband Uriah killed. David is basically a murderer. Did you know in the law there is no sacrifice for murder? Yet David found out the mercy of God extends beyond the law, did he not? He found out there was mercy and grace even beyond the law. So he learned to write this phrase, who forgives how many? One of the benefits of God based on the finished work of Christ now, who forgives all thine iniquities. Let's say it a little more plain. He forgives all my sins. You ought to put that, you ought to print that out or write that out and put it on a full sheet of notebook paper and put it on your bathroom mirror. That one and the next one. And say it every day of your life, every time you see it, until it becomes bone of your bone, marrow of your marrow. It just becomes who you are. He forgives all my sins. You'll get past a lot of condemnation from the devil if you learn that. All right? Now, this second one, who healeth how many diseases? Who healeth what? All thy diseases? He heals. Wait a minute. We'll get my Hebrew. I've already done that. It says the same thing it says here. It says just what it seems like it says. You have the word of God on it. He heals all your diseases. Now I can come up here and see this. We're really talking about step two from the first Wednesday night. Step two was get these verses and get them beyond more than just in your head. Get them down in your heart. See, you can hear me say that. You can hear me preach that. You can hear it every now and then until you're attacked with a disease yourself. And we'll find out if you've got it in your head or in your heart. See, you're going to have to meditate. I mean, someday it'll drop on the inside of you, go kaplunk, and it drops from your head to your heart. And I mean, from that day forward, there is no doubt I'm not going to die of a disease. I'm just not going to do it. He heals all my diseases. And it'll drop in you. And you'll get some wonderful opportunities not to believe that. Devil's going to try your ground. He's got his gospel of circumstances. He'll come and try your ground. I told you about me being healed of that incurable heart disease. How he weaned me off the medicine for 2 years. And I finally took the last dose of that medicine in May of 1998. And now this is September of 2010. Haven't had a dose of that medicine in all that time. And I've really been just really very healthy concerning my heart. But I've got to tell you, during that, how long is that? 98? 12 years. In that 12-year period, probably 7 times, I have passed up some wonderful opportunities to doubt God. I just passed them up. What do you mean? I mean, those symptoms came back again. And I got to tell you this, it was my choice. I knew it, but I've done this enough. Thank God this time, at least, I recognized it. I recognized the attack and I said, no, he heals all my diseases, bore my suffering, carried my pain. He bore away all my sicknesses. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm not receiving that. I have a new heart. I've already been prayed for. I've already been received it. I'm not going to receive that. Boy, I mean, this last time, the last one that I had was not within the last year, sometime within the last year. I've never had one persist so long. I'll tell you one thing about the devil. He is a persistent cuss. Using cuss on purpose. He is persistent. Boy, that one just kept. And I did everything I knew to do. I mean, everything that's ever worked before. No, I reject it. And fear, I command you to leave me. And I've called my heart normal. And I think I have a new heart. And I was doing everything that I knew to do. And it got worse. And it got worse. And I couldn't lay in the bed anymore. It was late at night, like 2 a.m. I got up. I couldn't get comfortable. I couldn't hardly get my breath. I mean, now I got a choice. I'm going to believe God's gospel or I'm going to believe the gospel of circumstances. Which is it going to be? But now this time, I mean, it got bad enough. The pain got bad enough. There's thoughts coming in your brain, you know, like, okay, now just how far are you willing to go with this faith stuff? Just how far are you willing to go with this? Because, you know, if you're wrong or something, you're going to die. Anyone, am I talking plain enough? And I weighed that in the balance. I'll be honest with you. I weighed that. I go, well, if I'm wrong and God's word's not true, I'm ready to go to heaven anyway. I said, I'm still not receiving it. I'm not calling. I'm not going to the hospital. I'm not doing nothing. God, I'm going to lay down here and I'll see you in the morning or I'll see you in a few minutes. I heard another friend of mine say that years ago. I liked it, so I used it. Well, it still didn't go away right off. And I tried to lay down. I really couldn't. So I just sat there in my recliner, about half reclined, and just worshiping God. It's softly. Just thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I thank you. I have a new heart. You're my healer. I don't know what all scriptures came out of my mouth. And then all of a sudden, it was like a little, I didn't exactly hear it, but I almost heard something go poof, right in the center of my chest. Poof. And I was fine. It was like some kind of pressure thing. I don't know what. I don't know anatomy. I don't know any of that. But something just went poof. See, I've always called. Sue and I always, our confession is it's just gas anyway. How many of you know we always do that? I don't care if my thumb is hurting, it's gas. Because gas will pass. I know it's just a temporary thing. And once it's gone, you're okay. So. And that's kind of what happened. I mean, I had what I said all these years. It just went, something just went poof. And I felt a little something right here. And I was fine. It's like it never happened. I went, oh, I'm going to go to bed. And I've been fine. But I'm telling you, I could have. If I would have accepted that, there's no telling what would have happened. I call it Satan's flip chart. I've been at this a long time. He'll come. Your symptoms will come. Will you believe? Heart attack. That's up to you. No, I'm not believing it's no heart attack. No, I'm not. No, it's not a heart attack. And you quote your scriptures and he waits. Would you believe? Heart disease. Or whatever. He'll just keep coming down the line until he gets to gas and take that one. Just take that one. Because gas always passes. I never heard anyone dying of gas. What did he die of? Gas, no? I never heard of that. Have you ever heard of that? I never heard of it. Now the point I'm trying... We're having fun with this, but the point I'm trying to make is, do you believe Psalms 103, verse 3? Do you? Are you going to believe it the next time the symptoms come? Is anyone going to hear it coming out of your mouth? One of those things, instructions from the last 2 weeks, one of them was be ready to use those scriptures when the devil attacks. Now, you find the scriptures that promise you what you want. But then you get them down from your head down into your heart, whatever that takes for you. I don't know what it takes for you. God gave me an assignment one time to take 3 verses and say them out loud 4 hours a day for months. And see, that's embarrassing for me to have to tell you that my soul was so messed up that I had to do that. I had such strongholds that it took that level of confession and that amount of time to break through. Isn't that sad? But I'm sure glad I did it. I would take those verses and I'd put them on my bathroom mirror. That's where I come up with that. I literally printed them out, put them on the bathroom mirror, put them down the hallway. See, there's a Proverbs. We get into it maybe another lesson. It says, don't let my word depart from your eyes. Don't let it depart from you. We've talked about Joshua 1:8 about don't let his word depart out of your mouth. But in the Proverbs, it talks about wisdom and it talks about don't let it depart from your eyes. You need to be seeing God's word. I would take, if I was battling something right now in my body, if that was where my warfare was, I would take that verse right there. Who forgives all thy diseases. I'd probably take the whole thing there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. What are they? Well, here's a few of them. He forgives all thine iniquities. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. Boy, there's a good one. You know the safest car to be in is the one I'm in? Because he redeems my life from destruction. You're a field. Each one of us is a field. God's word is the seed. What kind of harvest do you want? I'd like to drive safely and not be hit by no car. And if I am, they'll be going, how come he has no scratch on him? Because he redeems my life from destruction. You want to fly safely? Get on the plane I'm on. Why? His word. What is that not what his word says? He redeems thy life from destruction. Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Now here's a verse that at my age now is one of my favorites. I didn't mean much to me when I was 33. 63, I'm going, I love this. Put you on my refrigerator, put you on the bathroom mirror. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. I'm seeding my field with that one right there. My youth is renewed like the eagles. See? But just head knowledge of that verse isn't... That's... Farmers don't leave their seed stored up in the barn at planting time. Now, they can have seed, and it's perfectly good seed. It's got an image. Every kernel has got an image in it. Powerful, ready to produce. But if you just leave it in the barn at planting time and then wonder why you don't have a harvest, it's because you never planted, you never sowed the seed. See, most preachers today, if they ever mention that at all, they're talking about trying to get you to sow money. I'm trying to get you to sow God's word into your heart. You are the field. You are the field. You want to harvest, do you? Sow some seed. Sow it with your mouth. Sow it into your heart. Meditate on it. Think about it. Roll it over. Think about it. I don't care what you make little songs out of it. Do whatever it takes to where one of these days it's not some theological thing that you heard in the prayer center. It's not something somebody else said. It's not a testimony somebody else walked in. I'm telling you, I know the difference. One day if you'll do those things, something happens. It's just like it's like that quarter you put in the machine and you hear it go kerplunk. And you know it's in there. Something like that happens on the inside of you. You've known that verse for years, but suddenly it like goes kerplunk. It drops into your spirit. It becomes who you are. And you are not the same person you were before that. And the devil's not going to have his way with you in that area anymore either. Because God's word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's alive. And boy, I mean, it'll do warfare for you. But you got to sow your own field. Your field is your soul. Your spirit's already been sown into you by God. You've got a spirit of God. It's that soul of ours. My soul, too, has got to be re-sown with the truth. It's been sown with the devil's gospel of circumstances all my life. It's easy for it to believe that. Well, you get cancer, you die. Recession's coming, going to go broke. That's not what I say, by the way. That's the devil's gospel, based on circumstances. How about no weapon formed against me will prosper? 1,000 may fall at my left hand, 10,000 at my right hand, but it's not going to come near me. He redeems my life from destruction. Yeah, but you sinned yesterday. Yeah, but I've also repented and gone to the blood. And he forgives all mine iniquities, too. Heals all my diseases. God, I don't like that one. I like it. Let's take it one step further now. I do want to talk just a little bit. We're going to introduce something because I've never seen it so simple and so clear in my life as I have these last few weeks. I want to talk about faith for intercession in a different way than I've ever seen it before. Go to Matthew 8. We're going to go through these quickly. I was going to go through them one at a time very slowly. By the way, I want to recommend a schematic or a drawing that I have. I've had this at my website for years. If you go to my website, garycarpenter.org, and on the top right-hand side, you'll see a little radio button that says Articles. You click that, and it'll take you to a page, and if you scroll down to the very last one, the bottom article in Section 3, you'll get this drawing. This one is called Walking by the Spirit, the Flow. It's how an engineer preaches the gospel. It's how God taught me graphically how this works. How did you get the Father's will from heaven? How do you get it manifested on planet Earth? But you can print this out on your own computer. And there's a couple of teachings leads up to that helps. Everything that I've said tonight and probably a lot of what I said the last two Wednesdays is all in that picture. I recommend it to you. Going on with tonight's message. Now, I want you to watch this. The same kind of things that we talked about these last 2 weeks. Remember how I took you all the way back to Genesis? Knowing God's ways. We went back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3 where, you know, Darkness covered the face of the deep. The earth was void and without form. But the Holy Spirit was there. Remember that? Hovering over the face of the waters. He was, if you look that word up, he was like brooding, like incubating. So there's the God, the Holy Ghost, who's already there on planet earth. Yet God the Father wants something different than what he has. Because what he has at that moment is darkness. Have you ever been in a situation where you had circumstances that were not to your liking? Get a clue here from God. We're supposed to imitate his ways. So first thing he did, he decided what he wanted. Well, I have darkness, but I want light. So he, the God the Father, is the one who conceives what he wants. He wanted light. Now, at the instant that he thought that, God the Holy Spirit is also God. Is he not? Omnipresent, omni-knowing, omniscient. Thank you, somebody. All-knowing. So he knows the instant that the Father, that same millisecond, same nanosecond, whatever, at that same then, I want light. The Holy Spirit knows that. And he's already on earth. He's hovering and brooding there. He's already there. He's the molecule changer. He's the manifester of light. He's well able to make light. He knows the Father wants light. But he's not making any light. It's still dark. He's waiting on something. He's waiting on something. In the King James it says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." In the Hebrew it says, "And God said, light be. And light was." Holy Spirit. Whoosh. What was the Holy Spirit waiting for? The spoken word of God. Not just the knowledge of what God wanted. The spoken word of God. One time when I was in prayer at the ugly building, Holy Spirit asked me a question. He said, if I couldn't make an exception, if I couldn't manifest that light anyway, if I couldn't manifest it for God the Father without the spoken word, what do you think the chances are I can make an exception in your case? Yeah. Changed my whole life. Jesus, we go to God, John's gospel, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And it tells us not anything was made without him. No, not one single thing. So we know the second member of the Godhead, the Word, he's the one that was manifest among men. You read further down in that, he's the one that was manifest among us. So now we know it was God the Father who conceived light, but it was God the Son, the pre-incarnate Christ, the Word. He is the one that spoke it. And the Holy Spirit is the one that manifested it. So let's simplify. God had circumstances that were not what he wanted. So he conceived what he did want. Then through the Son, he spoke what he wanted, and the Holy Spirit performed it. Now Jesus says, I want to teach you how to pray. You have circumstances, it's not like you want. What things soever you desire, what do you want? Well, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. But see, if you do that process, your desires are going to line up with his desires. See? Well, let's just take sickness. Say that was, we could take poverty, we could take other things, but let's just take sickness. Well, I've got these symptoms in my body. It's not what I want. Well, what do you want? Well, what does God say I can have? Well, he says he heals all thy diseases. You could be healed. I'll have that. See how that works? If his word abides in you. Well, that's what God desires. And now you desire the same thing. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. I gave you the testimony of that man last week whose pancreas did not produce insulin for 30 years. He had to take insulin by shot for 30 years. He had sugar diabetes. But he finally got healed in his late 60s, 69 I think he was, 60 something. He finally got healed of it, and they asked him, how did that happen? He said, it finally dawned on me what Jesus said. that I had to believe I received it before I had it. He said, so what I started doing, I just prayed. I asked God to heal me. And I just believed I received when I prayed. And from that day on, several times a day, sometimes I just take a whole hour and I just say, Father, I just thank you. I believe I received healing for sugar diabetes. I thank you. I believed I received my healing. Thank you, Lord. I have received my healing. You heard me when I prayed, God. And he says, I'd have to take my insulin still. So I'd take the insulin, I'd take the shot, and I'd be injecting myself, and I'd go, thank you, Lord, I believe I have received my healing. And he says the devil would come and with symptoms, you know, and he'd say, through the symptoms probably saying, you don't have your healing. He said, Jesus didn't say I had to believe I had it. He said I had to believe I received it. If I believe I received it and I hold fast to that, Jesus will see to it that I have it. That's the secret right there. That's the big secret right there. Believe you receive when you pray. Then you shall have it. So I emphasized it and it helped people, I think. So I'm going to do it again. When do you receive it? Don't answer me. I had to correct all of you. When do you believe you receive it? Before you have it. Let me say it the other way. When do you have it? After you have believed you received it. Did you get that? Your job is to believe you receive when you pray. His job is to make sure you have it. Now you got one other part in there, and I'm going to go through it again. We may not get to the intercession tonight. We'll do one. We'll do one. The very first lesson we talked about the kingdom jurisdiction. I'll tell you one thing that you have jurisdiction over in your kingdom, and that is your own thought life. And it's going to be your job to keep your thought life free from doubt. And I'm telling you, you got hordes of enemies, hordes of yabbits, hordes of everything and symptoms, everything coming to produce doubt, storm your walls, make you think you've lost. Everything in the world to get you to change your confession. And your job is to hold fast your confession. And we talked that about think on these things. God wouldn't tell us to do that if we couldn't do it. That is your dominion. That is your kingdom. Don't tell me you can't think on the good things. You can too. You have kingship over your own thought life. And it's not easy when you're in pain. Trust me. I've been there. Remember when my warfare with my back, I couldn't walk from the couch to the bathroom. It's not a good picture to give you, but it's the truth. I'm on all fours going from my couch to the bathroom, shouting out loud. I believe I have received my healing. I thank you, Lord, that my back is healed and normal. I think I can walk without pain. I will preach in South Korea again because the devil was telling me I wouldn't. And I did, by the way. And I will do this. And I'm crawling on all fours. I feel like a complete idiot. You feel like crazy. Out to lunch, you know. No. I feel like a king exercising dominion over my thought life. Holding in me like a pregnant person the answer to my prayer. Hallelujah. Just like we've got Mitzi over here, so pregnant, I don't see how she stands up straight. That baby's going to come out with hands lifted singing hallelujah to the Lord. I'll tell you what, little pregnant thing, and every time I see her, I go, that's the way you've got to be with answered prayer. You've got to be just this pregnant with it, expecting at any moment. Have to rush to for delivery. Well, you got to have dominion over your thought life. Okay, we're just going to touch on, I just want to show you something real quick. For years, I kind of avoided the subject of intercession, teaching on it or operating in it very much, because of statements like this. Well, you can use these principles for yourself, but you really don't have dominion over other people. And that's true. See, so I'd go, well, okay, I can use this for things I need and my health and my provision and my stuff. But then I'd, I didn't have much faith for other people that I could use these same things. And then it's just so... We're just going to touch on these. I told you go to Matthew 8. This is the centurion servant. I'm just going to read it for you real quick, the whole thing. Then we're going to do a few others, just touch on them. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a servant beseeching him, Matthew 8, 5, and saying, Lord, my servant, what would we call him today? Employee. This is a household employee, servant, slave probably in that day. My servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. But notice, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But notice this, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed. Who? It wasn't the servant's faith. It was this intercessor's faith, a centurion, a Roman who doesn't even really have a covenant with God at this point. This is before the cross. But yet his faith, And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now the next one, I'm not going to read this next one, we're out of time. But how about the woman of Canaan? Who came to Jesus, this woman's not an Israelite. She has no covenant with God. She comes to Jesus and she has a daughter that's grievously vexed of a devil. You remember that? Now she's coming, she doesn't even have a covenant with God. And Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs, meaning you have no covenant. But this woman had faith she knew God was even bigger than that covenant. Somehow her faith, she says, I know God's bigger than this. And she goes, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And the end result, she got what she came for. Now I'm thinking, now wait a minute. But let's simplify. Wait a minute. Both of these people had circumstances in somebody else's life that were not right. And they came to God's word, Jesus, they came to the word, and they got healing for somebody else. And that other person's faith had nothing to do with it. I'm thinking to myself, if that woman can go and get her daughter healed, and that centurion can go and get his employee healed, I can go to the Word and get my employees healed. I can go to the Word and get my children healed. I can go to the Word and get anybody healed. Now listen, you can't override their faith. We're talking about healing here, okay? Mothers, you can't go and say, God, make my son marry that girl. You hear what I, don't read stuff into this that we're not talking about. We're talking about stuff that Jesus paid the price for them to have. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to healing especially, when it comes to provision. And if they're absolutely determined, see, we're not told anything about that daughter. We're not told anything about that employee at all. It's like, didn't matter. But if they're not actively opposing you, I believe you can go get it for them. So sometimes, I tell you, you can get so beat down by the devil, I don't think even God holds you accountable anymore. And he's looking for somebody else to come. Like that Samaritan. Remember the Samaritan that was half dead, laid alongside the road? Robbers come and they stripped him and beat him and he was left half dead. Nowhere in that story does it say anything about that Samaritan's faith. He was looking for some believer to come and have mercy on him and bring the goods. Hello, goods bringers. That's us. But I'm seeing it's so simple. We've complicated all this. All these people did was come to the word and get healing for somebody else. Intercession is becoming very simple to me. If they can come to the word and get it, we can come to the word and get it. To be continued. We're out of time. Isn't that good stuff though? Previews of coming attractions. I'm telling you, we can get this. Give the Lord a hand. It's His word. Hallelujah.